Hi, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and I'll be your host for the next 2 days for this month's technology article. In the studio with us today, we have Serena. Welcome, Serena.
Hi, thank you, Steve. It's nice to be here.
So glad you're here.
Thank you.
We are looking forward to what you have to say about this month's topic. Also is Gordon. Welcome, Gordon.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
All right, Gordon. Well, Gordon is also kind of like a technology guy somewhat, so we're happy to hear his opinions about artificial intelligence today. We're so happy that you've joined us. We know that you have a busy schedule, and maybe you're listening in your car or on your headphones on the bus, or maybe you're home. Whatever you're doing, thank you so much for joining us and practicing your English. We hope that we learn some new concepts in English today. Maybe this is not your favorite kind of topic, but maybe you will learn something new about English and how to describe something or communicate something with different vocabulary. If you have your magazine, I invite you to turn to page 20 as we talk about artificial intelligence. Now, artificial intelligence has been around, what do you think, Gordon, maybe 100 years, the concept of artificial intelligence?
Yeah, the idea has existed a long time in fiction. Science fiction writers often like to toy with the idea of computers becoming as intelligent as human beings, and maybe robots as well, with artificial intelligence embedded within.
Okay, right. So that's the idea, is man creating something that can think for itself, right?
Yeah.
That's the basic idea.
Yeah, that's correct.
And how far have we gotten with that to this point today?
Well, I think in reality we are a lot further behind the writers, the science fiction writers, who have imagined whole worlds of robots far more intelligent than humans. But the reality is actually creating a computer system with the complexities of the human brain and that level of intelligence is a long way off.
Yeah, I think it's a lot harder than we anticipated to do this. And I wonder, is it because we've overestimated our ability to create this, or have we underestimated our own brains? Because our brains are quite complex, right? It's not easy to duplicate what's going on in our brain.
Right.
Our brains are phenomenal machines, if you will.
Right. And the thought of artificial intelligence can be very frightening to some people. Sometimes we think of robots or machines taking over the world, you know, but here we'll learn some more facts about artificial intelligence.
I like that. Yeah, that's a great point. A lot of movies have been made about that. So man has created a robot, and then the robot starts to think, hey, I'm pretty smart. I can do this better than the humans, and they take over the world. So that makes for good movies. But there are some rules, I think, that are quite famous rules when we're discussing artificial intelligence. And Gordon, tell us about first the author Isaac Asimov, because he was quite famous in writing about artificial intelligence, and he was the one who created these three rules, right?
Yes, that's correct. Isaac Asimov was a science fiction writer. Many of his books came out in the 1950s and 1960s. I've read a number of them, and they're very enjoyable and very well written. He had a collection of short stories about robots and artificial intelligence, robots who have the capacities of humans and sometimes threatened humans, as Serena suggested. He wrote three rules that he thought artificial intelligence should be restricted by, that embedded within the programming there should be these three rules. The first one, and I'm paraphrasing, is that the robot can give no harm to human beings.
Ooh, I like that one. Yeah. I'm glad that rule's in there, right, Serena?
Yes. Thanks for that one.
Yeah, so that rule is the most important, and that would prevent the kind of films we have like The Matrix, where robots take over the whole world. That's the idea. The second rule is that it cannot harm itself unless unless it's necessary to avoid breaking rule one.
Okay. Yeah.
So that second rule is subsidiary to the first rule. And the final rule, the third rule, is that the artificial intelligence, the robots, must obey all humans, like obey their commands, unless they the commands would violate rules one or rules two.
Right, right. And again, these are written by a science fiction writer. However, scientists respect this and they find this to be so useful in directing their own research and development for robots, right? I mean, they're actually instituting these three rules, are they not, in creating artificial intelligence?
I just don't know about that, basically. I think they're very aware of it, everyone. I don't know if the artificial intelligence has got advanced enough to be worried about machines harming humans in that sense.
Well, at the very least, some scientists are taking their cues from Isaac Asimov, are they not?
Oh, definitely, yeah. A lot of his ideas have been used, and people who are inventing new technologies are trying to produce the things that he imagined in the actual world.
Okay. All right. So he's an author, as we said, and some movies in the last 10, 15 years have been made based on his writings, and he's quite good. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, look him up. His name is Isaac Asimov. His last name is spelled Asimov. He's a writer, and he talks a lot about artificial intelligence. Well, today's focus, we're going to talk about writing like a human, and scientists have developed they're still trying to create a computer program that simulates writing and recognizing handwriting and characters, and we're going to talk about that today. So let's get started with our lesson. We'll start on page 20 on the left-hand column. Artificial intelligence just got a lot smarter.
Artificial intelligence just got a lot smarter. Researchers have created a computer program that writes like a human. Today's artificial intelligence may not be that clever, but it just got much quicker on the uptake. A learning program designed by a trio of researchers can now recognize and draw handwritten characters after seeing them only a few times, just as a human can, and can do it so well that people can't tell the difference. The findings, published in the journal Science, represent a major step forward in developing more powerful computer programs that learn in the ways that humans do. Although computers are excellent at storing and processing data, they're less than stellar students. Your average 3-year-old could pick up basic concepts faster than the most sophisticated program. If you forget what it's like to be a child, think about the first time you saw, say, a smartphone or a laptop. You just needed to see one example, and you could then recognize those things from different angles under different lighting conditions, study co-author Joshua Tenenbaum said. In short, he said, you can generalize. But there's something else humans can do with just a little exposure. They can break an object down into its key components and dream up something new. For example, if you saw a motorcycle and a unicycle, you might be able to imagine a one-wheeled motorcycle, a combination of each vehicle's conceptual parts. To scientists like me who study the mind, the gap between machine learning and human learning capacities remains vast, Tenenbaum said. We want to close that gap, and that's our long-term goal.
Okay, thank you, Luke, for that reading. We are talking about artificial intelligence, and I don't know, what do you guys think about the idea of trying to create artificial intelligence? Like, is that really a good thing? Is it needed? What kind of applications will we use for artificial intelligence?
Well, I think it depends. I know there have been advances on, like, medical technologies that have helped, you know, people. But as far as really advancing, like, you know, maybe robots helping the elderly, you know, that could be a little scary. So it depends on the situation.
Okay. We're back to the scary part.
Yeah, I can see that Serena is, she's worried about this.
Don't hurt my grandpa.
I find it fascinating. I think, yeah, maybe just for its own sake, it may be scary, but the, like, delving into trying to create something like the human brain, something that is that intelligent, is going to teach us so much about ourselves, about how much we, like, the way we learn, and, like, how intelligent we are, and how complex our brain is. If we could get anywhere close to replicating that, I'm sure it's going to help medical science hugely.
Okay, yes, and that's actually the point of today's lesson, is the more we study, the more we attempt to try to make artificial intelligence, we learn a lot about ourselves. Well, today's artificial intelligence may not be that clever. And again, this bears repeating, it's not as advanced as we would like. It's not as advanced as we thought it would be at this point. Creating artificial intelligence is hard. It's very difficult. But it just got quicker on the uptake. And let's talk about this idiom for a second. If someone is quick on the uptake, what do we mean by that?
It means they understand things easily.
Okay.
So if someone is slow on the uptake, that means they have a difficult time understanding things.
Right, right. If someone is not quick on the uptake or slow on the uptake, as you said, they have difficulty to understand things. Well, a learning program designed by a trio of researchers can now recognize and draw handwritten characters after seeing them just a few times, just as a human can. Let's talk about that word trio for a second on line 5. Designed by a trio of researchers. How many people are in a trio, Gordon?
A trio is 3 people, so this is 3 researchers.
Okay. Let's quickly go through the numbers. What if we're talking about 2 people? How would we describe that?
We might say a couple of people.
A couple or a duo.
A duo, yes.
Right. So we have duo, trio, and what's the 4 people? Do we know, guys?
Is it a quartet?
Yeah, so quartet. And then quintet is 5. And so we have all these numbers. And mostly we use these, well, not mostly, but I think of these words in terms of musical groups when we're talking about a group of 3 people playing instruments, we call them a trio. If there are 4 people in the group, we call them a quartet. Well, there's a trio of researchers, 3 guys, or maybe there's a woman in there too, doing this work. And this research, this design, this program design can do it so well that people can't tell the difference. And again, we're talking about handwritten characters. Do you have good handwriting? Is it neat?
Mine's not very pretty. I kind of write very italic looking.
Okay.
So it's not very formal looking. But
you mean your cursive looks
yeah,
italic?
I like to write cursive and more italic. For some reason, I always write on a slant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's your style, right?
That's my style.
Okay.
Yes.
What about you, Gordon?
I tend to write, my writing's been described as childish.
I've seen it.
It's very legible, which means you can read it easily. It's big, it's circular, but it looks a bit like a child's writing.
Bubbly.
That's true, people. I've seen it.
Yeah. but I'm okay with that because it means people can read. Interestingly, there's this kind of a couple of ways to learn handwriting. You mentioned cursive, and in my education in England, I got taught to write print, which is not as elegant. The characters are slightly different. They're more like how we see on your magazine here, the printing, which is why I've ended up with this very basic handwriting, which is very clear to read.
Really?
Rather than the flowing cursive that I know gets taught in America still.
You don't get taught that in England?
I think some private schools do, but not general education.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, the findings in the next paragraph, we find that they're published in the journal Science, and they represent a major step forward in developing more powerful computer programs that learn in the ways that humans do. And again, that's kind of the essence of artificial intelligence, is developing computers to learn and think in ways that humans do. No easy task. All right, now, Gordon, take us into the next paragraph, if you would.
Well, yeah, we see here that computers are excellent at storing and processing data, but they're less than stellar students. So they're less than great at learning in the way that humans learn.
Yes. So that's actually their main or their strong suit, we would say. They're really good at storing and processing data. That's what computers do great, but they're not so good at being students, less than stellar. I like that word, stellar. Serena, what does that mean, stellar?
Stellar just describes people or their activities that are a very high standard.
Right. Stellar comes from the same root as the word star. So you might think of a star student, someone who's very, very good, very smart, somewhat famous in their school because they're so smart. So stellar and star are related. Well, your average three-year-old could pick up basic concepts faster than the most sophisticated computer program. This isn't really news, is it, Gordon?
Well, I was shocked that they managed to roughly pick an age. A three-year-old. If you play with a three-year-old, like a child, then you can see how intelligent they are, and you see a lot of potential there.
Mm-hmm.
To compare that three-year-old with a computer, it's an interesting comparison.
I'm really thinking, like, we think we're pretty good with our computer technology, and like, I just feel like we're a little arrogant as humans, like that we're going to be doing this and that we're going to have computers that are smarter than a three-year-old and the three-year-old brain. It just seems a little like we're overreaching and we're thinking more of ourselves. What do you think about that, Gordon?
Yeah, you may be correct. I think because we do so much with computers these days, and because we've seen the technology of computers develop so fast in the last half century, that because we're using computers to do such intelligent things on a daily basis, we probably think the computer itself is very, very clever, whereas really it's just processing a lot of data very quickly.
Exactly.
So it's doing more than a three-year-old can do, in the sense that I can't ask my three-year-old what the weather's going to be tomorrow in the way that you can ask your smartphone or your computer.
Right.
But it's really just giving you back data. It's not thinking and learning and in a way that your three-year-old would be able to assess if you said, what's the weather like outside, to the three-year-old.
Right. I think that's the biggest difference between machine learning and human learning. Like humans, they learn motor skills and they learn how to generalize. But here, machines can't do that yet.
Exactly. Well, let's move on. And it says, if you forget what it's like to be a child, the author suggests trying this. Think about the first time you saw a smartphone or a laptop. And again, this is, you mentioned generalization, Serena, right?
Right.
And so this is kind of what we're talking about. You just need to see one example, and then you can recognize those things from different angles under different conditions. And so a three-year-old can do that, right? A three-year-old will see an object and touch it maybe and look at it from different angles and start to generalize and create this concept about this item and learn about it in a way that a computer cannot. If a computer were to do this, you'd have to type in like all kinds of information, right? And show the computer this object from every possible angle, right? So that it could recognize it in any situation.
Yeah, this is actually a very old philosophical problem, dating back to at least the ancient Greeks 2,000 years ago.
Whoa, please expound on that.
Yeah, the one in many problem, this idea that we have ideas, which somehow involve like many actual items in the world, but that are different. And with language, we have this perfectly. Think of any English noun, like the noun dog. As humans, we just know that word applies to thousands of dogs all over the world, even though they may look very different, they may act different in some ways, and how we do this is it seems remarkable in a way.
You mean how we generalize?
Yeah, how we generalize. How we can say that that's a dog, that's a dog, that's a dog, and it's different from a cat. And yeah, we can write down certain rules for all our words, and that's what definitions are to kind of describe it.
That's a good way to describe it. So I'm thinking like if a child, a three-year-old child, sees a poodle in America, and then the child travels with his parents to another part of the world and sees a different kind of dog, the child will point to it and say, doggy, right?
Yeah.
Right. Not even having seen that breed before, it can generalize and make an assumption that's correct, that, yeah, that's a dog too, though it's not a poodle. And it doesn't look like the dog they have at home.
Right, and they can use those examples to imagine other things as well.
Right, and computers can't do that.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go to the top of the right-hand column. It says, in short, and this is a useful idiom to use when you're writing. It means simply stated or simply put. So it's a great way to summarize something, in short. All right, let's go to the next paragraph. Serena, take us into that paragraph, please.
It says, there's something else humans can do with just a little exposure. They can break an object down into its key components and dream and think of something new.
Okay, so again, maybe that dog example would work here, right? The child has a concept of something. A dog has a tail. It's walking on four legs. Its head is in a certain position. And so they break that down. Humans can do that. And then it can conceptualize. The child even can conceptualize something a little different that's not exactly like what they're seeing.
Yeah, I think a great example of that, which is probably known by all our listeners, is the unicorn, which is a horse with a massive horn on its head, and the horn maybe from a narwhal or a rhino or something, and that's taking two parts of two different animals and putting them together and creating something entirely new.
Right.
And
right.
For humans, that's very easy. We can do that all the time when we doodle, when we draw, or when we write something or we just imagine something. But for a computer to think creatively like that, I think that requires a lot of programming.
That's right. The author gives us a different example. She, Amina, maybe, I'm guessing it's a female, she says a motorcycle and a unicycle. So you imagine these things, and you might be able to imagine a one-wheeled motorcycle. So a unicycle, again, is a bicycle with one wheel. Uni there, the prefix means one. And so you have a one-wheeled bicycle, and everyone knows what a motorcycle is, and then combine them. Humans are really good, as you said, in conceptualizing what a one-wheeled motorcycle might look like. But a computer has no idea how to do that. And so that's kind of what we're talking about here, how we conceptualize different parts. Well, to scientists like me, who study the mind, the gap between machine learning and human learning capacities remains vast. Of course it does. And we want to close that gap. And that's our long-term goal. And again, this raises the question for me, why? Why do we want to do that? And what advantage will we have when we have artificial intelligence that's conceptualizing things as humans do? What's your take on that, Gordon?
I think maybe for this scientist, this Joshua Tenenbaum, the fascination of it, he's probably very interested in his subject. But there are, as we've alluded to already, much that we can learn about ourselves and our own learning in the process. And I believe as we read further in this article, we're going to find out more about that.
Great. Okay. Let's finish up today's reading. We'll pick up the reading on line 15, taking things to a new level.
Taking things to a new level. Now, Tenenbaum and his colleagues have managed to build a different kind of machine learning algorithm, one that, like humans, can learn a simple concept from very few examples and can even apply it in novel ways. The researchers tested the model on human handwriting, which can vary sharply from person to person, even when each produces the exact same character.
All right. right, let's talk about algorithms for a second. This is the main word in this paragraph that we need to look at. It's an important word. And what does it mean, Serena, algorithm?
Algorithm is a set of rules that are followed so mathematical problems can be solved, usually using a computer.
Okay. Maybe to bring this down to something that we can understand, for me anyway, is the Rubik's Cube that you try to solve. It's a puzzle. Actually, it's mathematical, right? And there are algorithms that you use to solve that problem, that puzzle. So, again, it's a set of rules and it's a sequence of rules as well that you need to follow to solve a problem.
Yeah, thinking of it as a set of instructions is another way to understand it. That it's instructions. The Rubik's Cube example is instructions that we're following, but often algorithms are in computers, so it's the instructions the computer is following in its processing.
Great. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. The one that, like humans, can learn a simple concept from very few examples and can even apply it in novel ways. So, again, as you said, Gordon, we're trying to give these computers new algorithms so that they can learn and apply what they learn in novel ways. The researchers tested the model on human handwriting. And as we discussed earlier, Serena and Gordon, you guys have very different handwriting styles. And so we're going to find out tomorrow how good computers are at recognizing those handwriting styles and even creating their own handwriting. Okay? Well, we hope you do join us tomorrow for day two of Artificial Intelligence. Until then, my name is Steve, and for all of us here at Advanced, it's time to say goodbye. Have a great day.